You know what I would do?
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 It's nice to see you like this. I feel like you're all wintered up.
I feel wintered up. You can't see it unless you have the Patreon and this video gets edited. But I am wearing
That's
this.
What I'm saying. We're going to be mentioning it a lot.
It's on the mind. Okay. What do you want me to say? It's like if a croissant is in the building.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking about that. And I'm going to talk about where is it I want to eat it.
Right. And when they say dance like no one's watching, we all are going, yeah, but I also am thinking everyone is watching.
God's watching.
Well, yeah. No, exactly. And the religious people, they're like, someone's always watching.
They're watching.
Yeah. Basically, yes, actually, to that energy.
And in a way, I don't want to say that we're gods in this medium, right? In this
No,
form.
I wouldn't say so,
I wouldn't
literally
say
at all.
That at all.
I wouldn't even suggest that.
Nor would I.
I honestly wouldn't even say it in a way where I'm not saying it, because it is not something I think.
I completely agree.
No, I know, but I felt like yours, it a little bit implied that you did. Yeah. Now that there is the video element, I feel like you're going to be more visually antagonistic to me. Because normally you're just sitting there picking your toes the whole time, and it's not that big of a deal for me.
And look where
now
your
I'm
hand
picking
is.
My toe, look but they can't see that.
Yeah, but I can't.
But they can't see that.
We're talking about shit that doesn't matter. No one can see this shit. No one cares. We got to get right to what we're supposed to do. And that is host this podcast, which is called You Know What I Would Do. It's a podcast about two guys who...
Point at each other and try and get an unsolicited response in a strange way.
Exactly.
Two guys who will point at each other and imply that now you have to do something. Now you have to do something, but that
something.
Was never discussed. And in actual terms of the relationship, neither one owes the other one anything. And yet they constantly are being put in a position where it is as though they're lower status and they owe that person something.
Everything we talk about is an Avengers level threat.
Yes.
That's what I want to get across.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I think you were as well. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, yeah. I was zoning out as well. I you always got to think about the audience. When you yourself are finding yourself zoning out, in and out, and in and out of the thing you're saying, you go, well, what the hell are they going through?
I do want to table zoning out because that's a really good topic we should get into. Where does that come from? What zone are they talking about? And out, are they speaking like in baseball?
Yeah.
Okay, so as you know, we got... audience doo-doos. People are emailing at us different suggestions.
I gotta tell you, I heard another podcast recently where they said email us, and in my mind I was like, that's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's email at us.
It's email at us. Email us.
That's how you know that the infection is taking hold.
It's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the horde needs you. Do you get me?
I understand that, sir.
Needs you. So email at us at youknowpod@gmail.com if you have anything you want us to answer, which we will. But of course, as you know, we got the Patreon, which is extreme, extreme priority. And we have one of those today from Haley. You didn't even let me get the name out. And you got to crack
one
open.
It was a fucking accident.
And which one? I can even see it. Everyone can. You're drinking a tangerine dream.
Do I have to cover the...
No, you don't. If this is the Patreon. What are they going to do?
That's true.
LaCroix, if you want to get us, you know what? Go to the Patreon, subscribe, look at the video.
If we found out that LaCroix was going to sue us for using their product... It's a compliment.
You're drinking it. You're doing exactly what they
and
want.
You go, you're watching.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that.
You got a little wet in the nose.
Oh, yeah.
I'm helping you out. Now we got
I appreciate that. You don't have to edit around
We're talking about the video so goddamn
That's
much.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Is this what it's like on set when you're around cameras all the time? You're always like, they're filming.
I don't
want
to talk about that here.
Yeah, you're right. So this comes from Haley, who emailed at us within the Patreon.
Wow. And look how Joey has a printed letter. Look at that. That's the way we're upgrading now. Now we have letters that we're using.
I'm always reading letters.
Yeah.
It's always words combined with letters. Mike, what are you trying to say?
She goes on to say,
there's a bunch of people at my condos. Does she own them?
Hey.
I don't know. That don't pick up their dog's giant dookies. That's an issue.
Yeah.
I bought a bunch of little flags that I want to put next to the poops so that they get embarrassed and are shamed into picking it up. I haven't told my husband about my plan, and I'm sure he's going to tell me not to do it. Help me, boys! Haley! No Social Security.
Oh, God.
A lot going on here.
Well, it's tricky. It's really tricky. I wonder a little bit, like, what the area that the condos are in. I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, is it like a... Do all the apartments face a common, like, a green area?
Yeah, how local is the problem? Like, is it your neighbors, do you think? Because also, I go, well, if it's downtown L.A., then it could be human shit, and then there's just no preventing what's happening here.
In front of my apartment, I have picked up twice. Like, what I have to go like, oh, this must be a giant dog shit, or my this is a human being shit. I don't
know. I won't even allow myself to think that, because you could also think it when you see a teeny little itty bitty shit.
No
one. Sometimes I look at that and I go, what if that came from a human?
You think someone's dropping
like a little stringer?
Kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No one's doing that.
I'm like, but it's kind of fun to imagine. It makes a, it adds a little whimsy to the world.
No one's
slightly in the wrong direction.
No one's dropping chocolate chips.
Yeah.
On their way to what? Like a potluck dinner.
If you say so.
I'm telling you right now, no one's dropping trow and dropping little tiny Hershey's Pebbles before they go meet a group of friends and they buy a bottle of wine. That doesn't make any sense, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, just something to consider. No, if it's the big ones, we assume it's coming from a human. That's all I was trying to say.
That's all I'm saying.
But if it were a more magical world, then you could see one of those teeny... I'm trying to not say teeny tiny because I don't want to give you a free plug. But
you mean about my show that's happening January 28th, 5 p.m. at Marsh Theater in San Francisco, part of the SF Sketch Fest? Or are we talking about Last Best Comedy in Bozeman, Montana, February 7th at 8 p.m. and the 7 p.m.? And then...
Let's not go on. I think you got enough time.
We're gonna
I think you got enough time
out,
with the edit.
Right.
The plugging, I meant.
Yeah, we
got. I meant you
got
a little greedy with it. Plug
one
thing.
Plug that better because I forgot the time.
Plug one thing.
I know.
Not two.
Well, there's three things I got to plug.
But it's greedy to do more than
if
one.
If you want to get mystical and fantastical and whimsy, bud, and you're talking about little poops being all around the neighborhood, then why not make it an elf? Remember the bloat elf? Remember the bloat elf?
Yes.
What if the bloat elf is dropping them off?
Yeah.
We never said how big it was, Mike. Mm-hmm. What if the bloat elf
is the size of a cocaine? I'll give you that. Now, but here's the other thing, and I think this is the true heart of the conversation. It's I don't think signs that say kindly pick up after your dog, any of those, I don't think those work. I think those that they forget how spiteful of a creature a human being is. I feel that, and I would never do this because I will always pick up after my dog because I think it's gross. But if you're the type of person who's going to let your dog shit and then you're not going to pick it up, I think you're going to see one of those signs as a fuck you and you're going to want the dog to shit there.
Yeah. I mean, everyone should pick up their dog's shit.
Yeah.
But why aren't we picking up their dog's piss?
I guess just because of the degree of difficulty.
Why don't we?
I think it goes like slightly beyond the... what we're willing to do. Because I agree. I think we should be sponging up our dog's piss, collecting it into a little bag, and with more plastic, because we need to be using more plastic, and then throw that bag of dog piss into wherever that would get thrown. Because it can't go in the same...
playground.
Yeah, but it can't go in the same one that the dog shit is going in.
No, because it's dog shit.
Yeah, it's totally different. Bag full of a liquid that you sponged up off the ground is... it's harder to deal with than a dog, a bag of shit.
You got those bags for poop. I'm sure you can crumble up a whole bunch of loose leaf paper and then use that to sop up the
And not to be disgusting, but you could also use, you know, there are these like straws for sucking a booger out of a baby's nose. You could use and the booger will never get into your mouth. You don't even have to worry about it.
So you're talking about getting
a filter.
Right on the wiener.
The piss, you just use the same kind of filter thing and you suck it up into a straw, but it never goes in your mouth. Okay. If they have that same tech that they use for baby boogers.
So you're saying put...
which it might be more difficult because it's less, you know, it's less viscous.
Yeah, but you're also doing it right on the wiener.
No, I'm not saying they're pissing in a straw. Right, it's not a catheter situation to be disposed.
I don't know what religion they are.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying that, assuming it's on the sidewalk and it's not a soil situation, because you're not going to be able to get the piss up out of that. If it's on the sidewalk and you have this proprietary straw, you suck it up. It's filtered so it doesn't get to your mouth, and then you dispose of the straw itself, I think.
Whatever. This is your idea. I don't know.
It's not even my idea. I was just following along with your idea.
Mike.
You were saying that they should be cleaning up the piss as well.
I don't care, dude.
I know, but I'm saying that was what your idea was.
You said the straw.
But your idea was, I'm just adding technology. You just, by the way, your first whack at it was ripping up newspaper and using that to sop up the piss. I had already introduced the sponge idea.
I'm not trying to add more plastic.
Technologically, the sponge is way higher than the other one. Piss bag, bad. Straw, we're getting in the direction of better technology. Newspaper, though, arguably the worst of all of them.
I said loose leaf paper.
Same basic principle.
It's a different thing. There's no ink.
I think it'd be less absorbent than newspaper.
Can we please get back to what Haley has
I think we're still
us?
On it.
I know we
we're
are.
We're still on it. But I haven't gone an inch away from it.
She wants to know.
Yeah.
What the hell to do about these giant dookies? First off, big dogs, okay? Love them to death. It's an owner issue.
Yeah.
Okay? Secondly, she wants to...
Who owns the owners? Their parents, basically.
Who watches The Watchmen?
So actually, I know what I would do. I would go right to the parents of the people who own the dogs.
Oh my God, the parents of the... Okay, okay.
And you got to shame those people for doing a bad job raising children that would become adults that wouldn't pick up their dog shit.
So you just shame the parents?
You go to the... Well, you go, hey, Grandpa, you did a bad job because that guy's...
So whoever the eldest in the family is.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because it's not just the parents. Maybe it's the parents' parents. Yeah, but you figure out where this thing began. You know, like maybe you do it. It's more like of an experiment. You take the parents, you put a bag over their head. They emerge in some lab. It's kind of like a Squid Game style. And then you just go, we're just having you walk this dog. We're just having you walk this dog. And then we all follow with our little clipboards. And then we
How
see
many
if they
people
pick
are
up.
Following?
I would want a team of seven. It's got to be. It's got to be. It's got to be a prime. Exactly. But so you follow and then you note it and you go, so the grandpa picks up the shit. The mom, the grandpa's daughter, who is the mother of the person who has the dog, she does not pick up the shit. So that's where the owner himself is probably getting that trade from.
Okay.
And so you just test that, figure out where it started, and then you try to shame all of them, but in a scientific way, into doing it. So,
right.
Haley, if you have those kind of resources, I really do hope that help.
This is what I would do, okay? And I'm actually going to table that because we haven't even gotten through everything that she's talked about. The flags, talking about her husband.
Oh, those aren't going to work.
They will work. And I'll tell you
why. And you never address the spousal disagreement. You let that's for them to work out. That's not on
unless
us.
It's brought to us and we got to figure that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm on the side of the husband and on the side of the
wife.
You got to be on both. You got to be on both with that one.
You can't be on both. You got to pick a side, then you got to walk away.
Well, they both have their complicated reasons.
I know why. And you have to irrationally.
Fine. Then I would want to meet the husband and their parents and then their parents' parents. Test all of them in a similar sort of situation to see like how often they agree with their spouse, like how often they agree with like a passive aggressive gesture, like putting the flags down, and then see where in the family they all land. So yeah, you're right. I would take them into account and then you do a little test on them.
Why doesn't the husband want to be involved? And I'll tell you why, because that's issues, that's drama. That's a lot of,
yeah,
like,
he's seeing that there's unavoidable escalation.
1,000%, yeah. Right? Cause the person who doesn't pick up the poop is already an asshole.
And they're looking for a fight. I would argue anyone not picking up dog shit is looking for someone to ask them.
Oh, they're waiting for someone to be
like,
hey buddy.
Yeah.
You know, they want that. Okay. So he doesn't want those kind of problems. Okay. And justifiably so. Okay, because that guy's what, running a Fortune 500 company?
You tell me.
That guy's got $655 million. He's got to figure out how to get out of escrow.
Yeah.
And what's
maybe
and what's
so he's
Haley
like a hedge
doing?
Fund guy.
What's Haley doing? Also working a Fortune 500. Actually, she's in a Fortune 400. A little better. I'm telling you right now, a little better.
Is that even...
He's got $655 million in escrow.
Yeah.
She's got to figure out how to get out. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
They both got busy fucking lives. They're both top tier corporate.
The style of that letter tells you that they're in the 1%.
Haley cannot let her husband know that she's dropping these flags. She's going to do it. She's already purchased them. They're already on the way.
Yeah.
But this is what I find.
Oh, yeah. I think you should do it. Ultimately, you just should do it. But I also think you're going to get more shit.
Don't jump on my ship now when you see it sailing free. Okay? Don't do that now. Okay? You already made your call.
It's just word from my ship. Like, we heard that you guys are like that. We're like, oh, we're cool with the flags,
How do we get that word?
Because you got one. I have one little spy on your boat.
I think we got it through that carrier pigeon. The carrier pigeon.
Why? You bring up this carrier pigeon so much. You want to get a pigeon, cut it open, humiliate its body, put a note in it, put that dead corpse into a box, mail that, just normal USPS, to the person, and then have them, when they write their note, shove it back into the same bird corpse.
So we're not wasting.
Yeah.
Ship to ship.
Yeah.
So you're going to get these flags, put them on next to the poo, and I assume the flags are all the same color, or maybe they're like a different color for each size of poo or different person, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who's making these poos. Now, I agree, you just farted.
No, that was my toe.
That's a fart,
on the pleather.
We got it on cam.
Yeah.
So what I
can replicate that in court. I'm not scared is what I'm saying.
I'm not scared either. I'm not scared of going to court. What I would suggest and what I would do is this. Find out who is pooping with their dogs. Now, I don't mean they're pooping next to their dogs, but they're letting their dog poop. Take a photo of them, put their face on the flag, and then like jam that flag next to the poop.
Yeah.
People are not going to assume that's dog poop. They're going to think
it's
Brian
the
at 4C.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
They're going to think it's Claire at FJ.
So are you
FJ.
Thinking that she should place like a spy cam, basically? Have it set up?
No, not even that. I'm not even saying do the research. I'm saying like...
Pick someone at
just
random.
Just pot shot people you don't like in the condo and be like, that's what's going down.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Like, because now what's going to happen is everyone's going to be eyeing that garden area, right?
Yeah.
That communal space, and going like, who's going to shit next?
Yeah, it's like East-West Berlin. Like, all eyes and all weapons are pointed right at that line.
Exactly. You want to weaponize the condo to your advantage. You don't want to do this work
yourself.
You don't
want the courtyard to be a place where people can relax.
No, exactly. Because I guarantee you, there's only like, let's say there's 10 people there. Two people are letting their dog do that.
Yeah.
Still, it's not a lot. That's a lot of people, but it's not the majority.
Yeah.
But you want the majority to start getting the power back and looking there. So everyone's going to quit their job. Everyone's going to abandon responsibility and stare into that courtyard 24/7. How are they going to eat? How are they going to sleep? Yeah. Well, duh, we're going to pipe in different nutrients, okay, through different tubes and shit to everyone's back of their skull. Right, everyone's going to be hooked up to this.
Now, because for me, that's where the idea takes a turn. And I'm not even giving you a note. No, I just go, wait, we're going to do this? We have piping. It's going into the skulls. Like, I just go,
to keep
like,
everyone alive,
oh,
man.
I thought this was in our reality. I didn't realize it was in, like, a steampunk sort of reality, some sort of anime.
It's our reality, bud. We have tubes here, don't we? We have back of our skulls here, don't we?
It sort of, like, out of nowhere became, like, J.G. Ballard. Something's, like, scary, and they're all, like, they all quit their jobs, and they're all obsessed with this compound, and they're all just looking down, but then they have pipes going into the back of their heads.
Pipes don't bend the same way tubes do. Because you got to be able to move around, like...
I would argue pipes are going to make the movement way more restricted.
Yeah, that's what I'm... You said pipe. I'm not pipe. I'm saying tubes.
You said pipe.
I did not say pipe.
You did say pipe.
I said tubes in the back of their head.
Now, today we're talking Y2K.
I know it's already passed.
Yeah, we all survived it. And I was just thinking about it. Like, we had previously talked about Y2K fashion.
Yep.
Excuse me.
It's all right.
I burped. But I was just thinking about Y2K the other day, and I was thinking, like, what is, like, do you remember
that
what
rhymes.
You...
That Y2K the other day. Just acknowledge that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Acknowledge that, please.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It does rhyme.
Thank you.
And then I was just kind of thinking, like, do you remember what you were thinking about then? Like, was your family doing anything? Like, did it seem like something that was valid and scary? Because it didn't seem like that to me, but I also remember kind of thinking something was going
to
happen.
I don't think it was scary to... It was like something talked about on TV, et cetera. Like, oh, this is... But it was like...
It was almost like the closer it got, the less people cared.
I felt like it was actually something everyone kind of wanted because it sounded like it was going to destroy credit card companies. It was going to like disable any kind of nuclear armaments. I felt like it was going to be like, this is actually pretty good. You mean we just go back to the 70s? Like, didn't seem like technology... Like, you know, we didn't lose electricity.
I do remember, though, there was some theory I had heard along the way was that like all of the nukes were just gonna like go
right. But that's something. I'm like, that's no, it would just reset it back to this other time. It wouldn't like let them go. That was just insane.
Yeah. Well, the idea was basically because of like the early programming of like how the computers understood time, it was like the number would reset in at 99 or whatever, and then, you know, it would just be total chaos.
And that's how we program our nukes. So like when it gets to 100, you go.
Well, no, like I just am sort of like, I think because
like, what about the two keys? You gotta go.
Yeah. But computer technology was so like new that I think that most it was hard for people to understand. Right. And then like any catastrophizing, everyone's like, I don't know.
But that's also why I don't think they gave a shit, because they're like, I don't like what you mean my Dell?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
But do you remember what you did in 1999?
I did. I remember what we did for New Year's. We went to a Gloria Estefan concert and we had a ball drop in the concert. And then there was the Y2K bug on the big screen, which is a cockroach. And we all crushed it.
And then, and it was just kind of fun times. And
then literally 12:01, nothing happened. And we just partied.
Yeah, that's fun. Had you previously, would you do something like that on New Year's?
Or
it
never.
Was, so it was specific to Y2K. It was like everyone in Miami is going like, we're going out.
And pretty we're going much, I mean, to that's, like a that's show. The case for any occasion.
Yeah.
You're going to find a reason.
But so even when you were 10 years old, you would go out?
Yeah.
Or 11 or whatever. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I'd go with my parents to their to parties.
Like,
And it was always parties going to start at 9 or 10. And then, like, we'd get there when my dad was with it. They said 7. We're getting there at 6.
Yeah.
No one was there. But, like, the party would.
I actually think that's the right move. I think for people who are uncomfortable in settings like that, it's probably not the right move. If you can find yourself comfortable in that setting, just like snack on the food and hang out. That's like the best time to get there. Because also, then when more people arrive, then it's kind of like they're coming into your domain.
Yeah, you actually get to, you don't have to say hi to everyone. You're just, you can just be wherever you're at and be like, hey.
Oh, welcome. The food's over there. Yeah, you know all the info.
You end up hosting the party.
That was your dad establishing dominance.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spent the night there and then he abandoned us.
Yeah. He's like, my home?
This is mine now.
Yeah.
It was intense. Uh-huh. But that's, I mean, parties are not... I would hear stories of my grandparents having house parties. My dad was saying, like, you know, he was in like middle school, elementary school, whatever like that. And they'd be partying till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And they would throw salt on the floor so they could slide when they were dancing and shit. He was like, that's just what they did.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that sounds fun as fuck.
That just sounds completely insane. Well, I never did anything for New Year's Eve. It was more like just the act of being allowed to stay up late was sort of the whole thing. But I kind of remember being a little bit scared, but mostly being excited about it and hoping something would happen. And then when nothing happened, I was like, oh, okay. And then I feel like that was kind of that was the way we started 2000.
Just going,
it's just like, okay.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what would happen if the computers stopped working the way that we know? Like, what would that mean for the future? Would that mean that social media wouldn't exist? Would that mean that maybe we'd have to talk to each other a little more? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yes, it would mean that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no way to know. What'd you do for New Year's this year?
For this year, I think I was in bed by like 9 or 10 p.m. My daughter was scared of the fireworks. And so when she went to bed, then I slept on the floor next to her crib as a, you know, you don't have to be scared kind of thing. But I just fell asleep.
One thing that I know helps like with animals or kids, like they're scared of fireworks, put them right next to where the mortars are going off for the fireworks. Leave them there just like by themselves and just have them there for however like long, 50 minutes, hour, whatever the thing's going off, and then pick them back up. And then.
Well, I feel like she became scared of fireworks because last 4th of July, we went to like a sort of like little beach house in Michigan. We ended up being really close to like, you know, sort of Midwest style of using fireworks, you know. And so it was like it was actually shocking, you know, like she was really scared because they're so close. And then like I'm like running back to the thing with her. She's all freaked out as though it's like war, you know.
Yeah. My suggestion was not literal. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But you took it literal.
No, well, I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of like why I think she is scared of fireworks.
Shit,
yeah. Yeah, it's hard to explain how it's not
balls
scary.
Balls of fire shooting at you?
And it's so loud. It's so loud.
I'm
you forget.
Right. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I also passed out way, I think I went to bed at 2 p.m.
It's the best. Okay. Well, then you got to be awake by the ball drop then.
No.
No, you just called an all night.
Just called a nighter.
Yeah.
And I just went to bed.
That's what I did. Is Y2K a bad, is this a bad subject? Should we do something else?
I
don't think so. Why? Well, because I feel like, I guess I don't know, I expected more out of someone who grew up in Florida, I guess. Like I kind of expected that you would have stories of people looting.
What?
Because it's Florida. I don't know. Like, I kind of go, whatever the reaction of the United States is going to be, the most extreme of it will be in
but
Florida.
But it didn't happen. So there was
no,
no,
I know, but leading up to it, I don't know. Did no one do anything? Was Y2K? I assumed leading up to it, there was some weirdness happening in the United States.
I guess there
States.
Was like more prepping going on or something like that.
Yeah,
people
probably.
Who were like looking to like hoard water or ammunition or something like that. But
I don't think
there was no one breaking into. Like all technology, like alarms still worked.
I should have researched this because I would actually bet you all sorts of weird shit was happening.
Let me say this. Should you have researched this? No, not at all. Because your anecdotal experience is more powerful than the combined experience of the whole world. The things that you're doing today, that you're going to do tomorrow.
This is what people want out of their like spiritual gurus, is to say you're already doing everything.
You're doing enough.
Right.
Yeah. You don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
What's research going to do?
Yeah.
Cloud your judgment with information that you didn't know?
Uh-huh.
Why is that good? Right? You should be able to use what you've already discovered and already abandoned.
Uh-huh. And just relax.
Just relax.
Uh-huh. Well, here's what I would do with Y2K, and I think we're both going to have the same one here. I would have it happen, and I would get a big tech reset, and I would have us all like really look inward for a little bit and go like, you know, maybe we don't need this technology. Maybe this isn't what we want to put all of our money into. And everyone else is mutated by all the nukes that went off. And so it's like I'm speaking to hordes of mutants and everyone's all freaked out. And they're coming for me. And I'm going like, maybe technology is the problem. I just feel like that's kind of something I always wanted.
It's kind of like a Fallout scenario.
Exactly. You know? But I'm like the one guy who doesn't get it.
Yeah,
you're I'm like that scared of everyone.
In the vault or whatever.
Yeah,
or whatever.
No, I mean mentally I don't get it. Like I'm still talking to everyone like we all share the same rational experience.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're holding everyone back.
Yeah. And I'm talking about technology and they're like, we are so mutated now, we don't understand the concept of technology.
We don't have thumbs, dude.
Yeah,
We have plums.
We are oceans of people now.
Do you get it?
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I would do. Y2K, what a fun way to talk about the new year. What other year has that? What other year have we celebrated?
Oh, in terms of the fun.
Like Y2K, there's never been a Y anything else.
Yeah.
Why did we drop it?
Yeah.
And I mean W-H-Y, not Y.
Yeah, but you could mean the other Y.
I don't. I'm telling you right now.
You could start a campaign that is why did we drop it? It's just the variable Y.
But I got many campaigns going. I'm just going to start a new one arbitrarily because...
But if it was your idea, you would. Yeah, and this is your idea. I'm just saying you could start one, but it's like you'll only start a campaign if I explicitly don't want you to. If I go, hey, you could make that your thing, you're like, hey, I could do a lot of things, but I'm not going to interrupt the flow of my den of minds. Like, okay, great. Sorry, Joe.
I accept that apology. All right? I accept that apology. We need to start making years fun, dude.
Yeah.
2024, I couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah, yes.
2021, couldn't care there was a pandemic going on.
Yeah, because 2020 was almost cool.
It was almost
cool. And then
cool.
You go, now it's one of these banner years that will be one of these really terrible ones to reflect on for generations.
Why are we giving each year a little steez, right? Was it Chinese calendar? It has like the rabbit, the ox.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Fun.
The dragon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's cool as shit. Why aren't we doing that too? We talked about the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
Right? Where, like, everyone's like adopted that as like, okay, I guess that's good. Why aren't we going to other cultures and be like, actually, that's legit. Let's all start doing that.
Uh-huh.
What is this year?
Give me,
we all are obsessed with astrology. Zodiac, right? That's an animal or a guy with two heads or a lady with no eyes holding a balance sheet. Okay.
That's all of the Zodiac?
I don't know, man. Okay.
I always thought it was like a sort of shadowy figure with a pistol killing people. That's a
Zodiac killer. That's the actual killer. Yeah. I'm not talking about that.
I thought that was like had to do with a calendar or something.
No. Mike, no.
I thought that
it has nothing to do with that.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
I don't either. I didn't see the movie.
I saw the movie. Very long.
Jared Leto.
I don't know.
Jared Leto.
Is he in that one?
I don't know.
I think he had Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., but I can't really remember. I don't think so.
I haven't seen it.
You don't know. So you're just naming actors.
I haven't seen it.
You thought I was just randomly naming actors, and then you were showing that you could name an actor as well.
I can do it at any level, at any speed.
Clive Owen.
Owen Clive. Now, if we have an opportunity to gift ourselves something juicy as hell every year, why aren't we telling ourselves this is the year of what?
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm American. It's the only thing I know. It's the only context I understand.
Sure.
So why don't we start giving ourselves branded years?
Oh, my God. Literally right out of Infinite Jest. Like this is what I'm talking about. I talked about this last week, too, where you'll find a thing that is so like dystopic in something that I've read, and then you'll just naturally arrive at it. That's... Ugh. Like in Infinite Jest, the years are like, it's like the year of Glad or the year of the trial size Dove bar. Like it's literally, that's the whole idea is monetized time. It's so sad.
I'm happy I don't got to read it now. Okay. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy you check that up.
I guess great ideas are inevitable, huh?
So like, I mean,
but you're saying it like it's a good thing. And I feel like that whole book is kind of saying
saying it's already here. We might be getting our first trillionaire this year. All right. Things aren't good.
Yeah.
Things aren't good.
Is that true? Are we on track to get our first trillionaire?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's just really sad.
That's fun, dude.
That's great.
Because that means more money for us. Trickle down economics.
Solve the global homeless crisis.
So why aren't... I can't do that.
I'm talking to the trillionaire in the making.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Okay. Oh, it's you?
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
So we got to start naming each year after a brand.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And hold
Let's
on
leave it at that before it gets
hold
too
on
dystopic.
A I just want to say this. We are now branding ourselves, so you know there's going to be a Logan Paul year.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that this is the year of Barry Keoghan. Is that how that's pronounced?
Who's Barry?
That Irish actor in Banshees of
Inisherin.
Keoghan?
I think so.
It's like K-O-E-G-H-A-N or
something? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Hey, your guess is as good as mine.
I don't know. Or Quagan.
Yeah, that sounds more right to me, but I think it's his year, and I think everyone agrees. Moving right along. All right. Now, what today we're talking about is something it was just blowing my mind as I was reading about
blowing
it.
Blowing your ass.
Yeah, I was blowing my ass. I think blowing my mind works more because it's like a concept in like neurology, but it's something called basal cognition. I was trying to a little bit explain it to Joey. It's truly wild. But I think, you know, it ties into something we'd previously talked about with genetic morphology, synthetic morphology, you know, like the way that a structure will form based on its sort of inherent biological data or whatever. And so basal cognition is basically like cognition that doesn't require the brain. So it's sort of like the way that cells communicate amongst themselves.
Kind of like how this podcast gets made, huh?
I'm not sure if I followed that. But basically, like, or I think it's talking about cognition that doesn't require the electrical impulses of neurons, basically. And so one of the ways that they were sort of demonstrating this is they cut a worm in half. You know, one of these, it's called
a little wormy.
Planary, I think. And what it does is, you know, it'll regenerate. If you cut it in half, it'll regenerate a tail, and then the tail part will regenerate a head. You know, we've all seen that in our brief times doing anatomy in high school, probably. So what this guy was doing is he was trying to...
The scientist.
Yeah, what the scientist is trying
this
to
is
do...
This is some guy.
His last name is Levin. I can't think of what his first name is.
Let's make it up.
But so he was looking at the way that it would reform the whole thing, and it would reform the head with a brain... on, you know, on the tail side. And so he was like trying to test if they have like sort of like neurological memories that could be tested in the other one. So he did this like this control sort of group thing where he discovered that a lot of these worms are naturally averse to like bumpy like environments. You know, they prefer like a totally smooth surface. But over time, they would put like this food on the bumpy surface, and you know, for like one trial group of these worms, and then the worms would go like, "Oh, we don't care about the bumpy surface anymore. It's all good. We actually prefer the bumpy surface." And so then when he has now two control groups of these worms, and one of them prefers the smooth, one prefers the bumpy. So he cuts them in half and then is taking the side from like the bumpy side. He's taking those ones and having them regrow from the tail. So they'd be growing a new brain, right? And so, or whatever, you know, yeah, like it's whatever. It would be a brain. But so it regrows that. And then it would put that one onto the smooth surface side and see that it now it would still prefer to be on the rough surface. And so it like would retain some idea of memory, basically, from even though it didn't have the brain anymore. So the whole idea in this is that like there is other communication within the body and like the biology that goes beyond like, you know, neurological impulses. And is some more like whole body or like deeper cognition that they call basal.
It sucks that because we're able to witness this, categorize it, and then explain it, we don't get gifted that ability.
Yes, I agree. There's, I agree. You should get XP points and yeah, you go like, okay, now I'm doing that.
It sucks that we have yet to develop a way to absorb that. Like, what's that X-Men that can do that? What's her name?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. Whatever it is. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And, Jennifer Beale?
No, is it Jean Grey?
No, that's the Phoenix. No.
Yeah, then I just don't know.
No. But it's just like, it's amazing that that happens in nature.
Rogue. That's the one who has that power. That's what it is. You asked, and I answered, the Marines.
Well, I'm like, man, that's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as that, you know, what that jellyfish that can live forever, the box jellyfish or
whatever it is.
I don't know which one. It's like, oh yeah, just like it gets to a certain age and it's like, yep, goes back to zero. Like it just does that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
That's- well, I know. I mean, of course, all human beings are always going, well, how can we, you know, teach this to our bodies? And that's ultimately, this guy is trying to do that as well. Because another thing that I found, so this is all from-
but what would that do for our bodies?
We're trying to teach ourselves how to operate in a similar way to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, but like, if let's say we were able to do this. I don't
know. Oh, it would be bad. And it would like, if I cut my finger off,
would it grow into another version of me? Is that what the idea it being?
I don't know that it would be so big as that. Like you're saying that the finger would regenerate. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
would I regenerate a finger? What is he saying? Because that's bone, dude.
Well, yeah, but it would be able to theoretically make all of the things do the same like production that cells do it already.
Let me just say this. I had this idea, and I really think it's sound. It's a little tangent, but it has to do with bones. And I said bones, but I want you to know that this is in line with what I just said in the conversation we were having.
Okay?
So ghosts are white, right? Uh-huh. Traditionally. Translucent, but like a white fogginess,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I now know why they're white.
Oh, okay.
And the reason they are is because they don't have bones.
Yeah.
But they actually are covered in their dust of the bones, the bone dust.
Sure.
So that's what we can see through them, and that's why they can move through stuff, because there's no bones in them anymore.
Uh-huh.
But they have bones. They're just covered in bone
dust.
And
you arrived at that scientifically through saying, oh, if I cut off my fingers, it's going to grow a new body. No, it has a bone, and so it's going to regrow the bone. All of that made you go, you know what I just learned is true? Ghosts are made of bone dust.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a remarkable algorithm to watch play out.
I'm just like, prove me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Prove me wrong. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I guess let's start with proving that ghosts exist.
We already do. We already do that.
Yeah, that's terrific and definitely relevant. One of the things also that
I told you it was. So I told you what.
So this is a feature in like the latest Scientific American. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Tiny Minds or something. But one of the other things in this that I found really interesting was he basically, this other scientist who had like a background in computer science, computer programming, he noticed that a lot of the sort of like ways that we look at cells and cellular communication is through similar like a sort of binary electrical impulse communication. And so he, in experimenting on these worms, basically tried to change like the voltage of this communication that was happening on like a cellular level, where basically he noticed that the top of the worm and the bottom had two different like voltage outputs.
That's where the brain's up top.
But the higher voltage was in the bottom.
What?
Yeah. But so then what he did is he did like a thing where he shot like a voltage wave. Or no, he used it.
He's
a chemical.
He's torturing these.
Yeah.
Worms.
I mean, like if you want to go down that road, I'm not super interested in like the sort of I don't know morality of
him
tiny
severing
little
these worms and shocking them and shit.
Yeah, but look, you know, it's a genetic exploration. It's
I guess everything
as close
science.
As harmless as we can be. I mean, they do a similar sort of studies on all sorts of plants and everything. But like,
I'm also against.
I was gonna say, I remember when I first became vegetarian, my mom was like, Don't plants have emotions? I was like, oh, come on.
They do.
Yeah, totally. And I agree that they do. But it's so then to be a vegetarian, you got to just starve to death. You can't have leaves. You can't have any
that's
lettuce
why I eat
anymore.
Because I'm like, look, dude.
Yeah,
equal opportunity.
It's all a crime.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But so he chemically changed the voltage of this worm, and then he cuts it in half. And then it
long
both
ways?
Both sides, they've actually done that, and it grows back the same as
jeez.
Well. But he basically, just from the voltage change, the head grew another head. Because it was like, so there's some communication that's happening on like an electrical, biological level.
Wow.
Where this one change in voltage made it do the opposite of what it would normally do.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that just completely fascinating? So then you go, okay, so then the language of the body is these electrical
impulses.
Well, we're
electric, right? Like
100%. Yeah. That's what neurons are. They're like, it's a tiny little thing that is able to have an
electrical. That's why when lightning hits us, we get stronger.
I have not read that.
This is what I would do. About, what is it, the basal cognition?
Basal cognition, yeah. I think of it as like the bay. It was only termed in 2018.
B-A-S-A-L?
Yeah, but it's pronounced basal. Like, I think basal. It's talking from like a chemical perspective, I would guess.
I don't care. Like,
yeah.
Whoever named it didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Yes.
Right? This is what I would do. I would shrink myself down to the size of a worm, get a worm costume.
So not that small. I mean, like, you're not getting down onto like the chemical. If you're going down to a worm, like, that's bigger than an ant.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, you could do a super tiny worm.
I'm the size of a worm, Mike. I'm not that small though.
Like, why not down to the size of a bacteria or something?
Because
you can really look at how it's all working out.
I don't give a fuck about how it's working out. Can I tell
and
you what I'm doing?
That's what I wanted to hear you admit.
Because you know what, Mike, you're part of the disgusting scientist regime. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going down to the size of a worm, and I'm donning that Heidi Klum worm costume.
Mm.
And I'm going down there and I'm talking to them and they're getting cut up.
Do you think the other worms would think that the Heidi Klum worm was hot?
They think I'm hot because I'm wearing her costume.
But you're not dressed like Heidi Klum. You're dressed like Heidi Klum when she was
in
the
worm
like the
costume.
Met Gala
yes.
thing.
No, no,
in
it
a
was
worm.
A Halloween costume.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Just answer my question. The worms find you sexy.
Yeah.
You think that was her doing a sexy worm?
I think that was her just in her. It was Heidi Klum in a worm costume.
Yeah.
She's an attractive person.
So you were like, oh, a worm would.
I think I put it on. They go, he's also attractive.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, that's the thing I wanted to investigate and explore, and we just did, and I'm thrilled we did.
Yeah, Sherlock, there's your evidence, okay? Thanks. I'm hot as a worm. Yeah. Get over it, okay? Yeah. You put me in rib-tubed form,
yeah,
I'm hot.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Great.
That's
yeah.
just how it goes.
Okay, so you're down the size Band-Aid of a worm.
Band-Aid around my throat.
I
okay?
understand.
I'm good to go,
yes,
bud.
You look great. Yes.
Okay. Put me in any kind of club, environment, full size in that
Let's
costume.
Go ahead and get back to what you would do.
I'm hot, man, okay? Yeah. GQ, hot worm of the year. Mm-hmm. Me, dude, all right? That's I'm getting that title. So I'm downsized, right? Now I'm a little tiny worm hanging out the worms. I'm going, what's going on with these guys? They're like, nothing's cool. They just chop us in half and we grow. They vault my ass and two heads grow. I love being a worm. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should do something else. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, look, I say, next time that guy cuts you in half, you form back up, except you give yourself a fucking gun or a knife. And next time that scientist comes down there, we point that knife or gun at him and go, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You really want to cut me up?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut you back, bitch.
That's
and
great.
I get all these worms. That, no, what's going to happen? It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for me to understand the language. It's
yeah.
take
oh,
a while
yeah.
for me to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
How
you're,
long?
You're in like a little jar, by the way. Like, you're not going to mount like any kind of meaningful uprising.
Do you think I can't pop out of a
this
jar?
This is just one reaction that they're going to write down as part of the study.
Do you think
hostility in the worm is amplified by putting one sexy worm in?
Do you think they're going to try to cut me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to let them to keep it up. And what are they going to find? Oh, wow. Look, there's a human leg inside this
yeah.
worm.
Yeah. So then now they know that you're not one of them.
They're going to know I am.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to be the prized worm.
Okay.
I'm going to be the number one ace worm. They're going to show around to all. They're going to get one of those Peabody Awards, whatever the fuck they get, the scientists get, okay?
Uh-huh.
They're going to be, look what I got. I got a little body made out of peas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peabody Award Committee, for giving me this human body made out of peas. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to turn soon. These are real peas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone should do a plaster cast and we can just get a mold set and then we can totally reissue these awards instead of having a one-for-one human body made out of peas. Don't you think this is a little cumbersome for me to take home and the peas are going to rot? Not to mention when I grab one of the legs to pick it up, all the peas squish. And now I'm just holding on to some copper wiring. That's really what it is. It's just copper wiring. How about we do think a little, Peabody Committee, instead of giving these awards the way they are. And that's what I'm going to do for those. But really what I'm doing is protecting those worms. We're going to rise up. And ain't nobody going to cut us again, baby.
That's great. Now, before I get into what I would do, there was another thing in this article that I found pretty interesting, which was, it was called embodied cognition. And it was about like the sort of natural physical way that a life form adapts to and tries to understand its environment. They use mold as a good example, where it goes the way that the nutrients will be, and then it redirects all of its mold in that way and away from the non-nutrient rich areas. And that's like also they say how babies learn is, you know, you pull on a thing and then you understand cause and effect sort of stuff or any sort of causal reaction. So that all leads into what I would do, which is that I would start to teach the like robots at MIT and stuff more embodied cognition so that they can more quickly take over and replace the human beings and allow me to just do improv shows for them whenever they want.
They're
I'll write my little
that.
Stories. And no, but I'm saying if I'm giving them the keys to the kingdom, you know, if I'm going to sell out humanity. Then
they don't trust you.
Well, I mean, but maybe they would for a little bit. Regardless, even if they just let me do one great show and they let me write a book or something and
then
they pass it around.
Just do it now.
In the algorithm.
Just do it now when humans can enjoy it.
But I just kind of go, we've had our time. We got to just let the robots take over.
They're not even here.
But I'm saying they're going to figure it out super fast and they're going to take over. And cool. So if I can just help them out by going like, let's a little nudge in this direction, then that's what I'm going to do. Thank you. I hope that helped.
We're talking about dating apps.
Yeah.
You had app dating.
I did, yeah.
And that, so I'm like, are you talking about navigating the apps?
Yeah, that's how much I don't know about it. No. I do mean dating apps.
I was, so at work the other day, which I call home.
Yeah.
When I was at home, because it's just.
It's where you want to be.
It's where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman who had come into the restaurant, who had a reservation, and it was a party at 2, and she checked in, et cetera. Asked her if she wanted to be sad or whatever, and she was like, no.
Did she want to be sad?
Yeah. I was like, we always ask that. Do you want to be sad?
Yeah. Do you like to be sad?
And then I just say really fucked up things to the guest.
Yeah.
That's part of the service. That's service.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm waiting. I'll wait for my my guest.
My guest.
Whatever.
The rest
said.
Of my party.
No, she didn't say that because there's only one other person in the party.
Okay.
And I was like, do you want to wait at the bar? She said, no, I'll wait right here. I said, that's fine. And we started talking. And she was saying that she used Bumble. And I was like, oh, this is a date.
Uh-huh.
There's like a setting in there and outside of like, you know, you're looking for dates, whatever. You can actually use that to find people to hang out with, like friends. So she found another woman in the area to come and just hang. Because she's like, I'm thinking about moving here. So this is someone like,
wow,
that she could talk to, kind of like,
that is really interesting. Insane.
And you can also then do business on it. So it's gone far beyond like just like having like your bits and pieces get all wet and hard. It's more now where it's like, oh, we're actually getting like, this is a LinkedIn.
That's really interesting.
It's Facebook. It's Instagram. Yeah, yeah. Cause they're like, you're already on the app. Let me keep you here longer.
Yeah.
Great.
Or, I mean, also let's provide greater utility from the app.
And what's
like, I don't think that's bad. That's pretty interesting.
I think it's great. I mean, literally, they're like, someone you want to hang out with is on the app,
uh-huh.
Right? They're on the app, and you can just set your radius, what is it, 10 miles, a mile, whatever, then sure. Find someone to like kick it with. That's pretty cool. I really enjoy
yeah.
it. And is there anything better than signing a deal when you're chubbed up? Is there anything better than being like, hey, let's go bowling tonight when you're uh-huh. chubbed up?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like,
right. Like, it's yeah, just like, yeah.
Let's use these apps
sure.
for their advantage.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was blown
that's
away
fascinating.
By that.
Fascinating. Well, I've been listening to a podcast.
I just also want to say this. At the host end, I've had multiple staff members. Like, it's kind of like a place where people come to like look on their phone or just like, you know, escape the job because it looks like you're doing something, whatever, but you can also sure. be shielded by the podium.
Uh-huh.
And I've had several people use that as an opportunity to open up a dating app and just swipe in front of me. And then it's kind of like begrudgingly like, you know, be like showing me what's going on. I'm like, I don't care. This is very yeah. personal. Don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to know, but don't want to know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just that like the brandishing of that and like the devil may care attitude to like, I don't give a fuck. Like that's just,
yeah. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
That's what was wild to me. I always thought,
well, because now we're deeper into the experience of that being part of like the broader culture.
Yeah.
You know, where now people are like, yeah. And they're like, you know, people have met their spouses on whatever, all of the apps and stuff. Right. So it is definitely different the way people regard it. But I've been listening to a podcast that I've been really enjoying.
This one?
I have not basically spent any time whatsoever in the dating. I've never used a dating app. You know, I have zero experience with it at all. Some of my friends.
Have you used apps?
I have used a bunch of apps.
Have you ever been on a date?
Yes, but always with people I already know.
Then you've used a dating app.
Yeah, 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 yeah. In a sort of like transitive way that doesn't make any sense.
Have you texted somebody about a date?
Yeah, I understand where you're going with it. It's honestly, it's so like oblique. It's so stupid that I almost kind of go like, I think we have to move past it.
Have you ever texted anyone?
Yes, yes, yes.
Was that on an app?
Yes, if you consider iMessage an app.
I do.
Yeah, no, totally. No, I see a lot of ways that you could connect the words together in sort of a word soup and say that it's all the same as using an online dating app.
Good soup.
But my point is that I've never swiped left or right on anyone. I've never filled out a dating profile. But mainly because that always seems like the worst, like for me personally, the worst and hardest way to meet people, basically.
I find that so insane. You love texting.
I do love texting. You,
like, That version of communication.
But I don't love flirting. I don't love that, and I don't love like the sort of inherent like sort of like aesthetic nature of dating where it's like it's so like here's a picture of me.
Yeah, but you can find who you want through that. Like it's like partial.
No, totally. But I'm saying for my exact type of mental illness, it's like I would never want to do it. It sounds terrible.
You seem like primed for that. I know what you mean. Like I'm better in the room.
Yes, like, that's what I mean. Is yeah. I'm just better in the room
for sure. I'm able to speak to that person. Like,
but I also I think what I mean though is that it's almost like oh my god, I think I said this last week too about a Pandora's box. But it's almost like that where it feels sort of scary to me to open up like to that level of potential dating, if that makes sense. Like where you go, like you can just like try to meet anyone at any time. For dating, like it almost
it's an
feels
addiction,
like it's, yeah, that's what I mean. It sounds like, I better avoid that. That sounds crazy.
And then you like, can do like the pay for it, so you get like a special tier where you have right. unlimited swipes. Because they did like garnish your swiping at a certain point, like, nah, you can only do 10 or 20.
Right.
So,
but it also seems like something that you could like almost get good at, and then being good at it like so weird. Well, then I go, like, well, then how do you ever feel stakes in a relationship if you go, like, oh, well, I can just. Well,
people are just using it to hook up, they're not using it to find a relationship.
Yeah.
They're using
yeah.
it for like one night stands or whatever. That was
but people can also like convince themselves that they are doing things that they're not doing and being like, well, I'm not looking to just hook up. I'm actually looking to date, but I only ever hook up and I'm not, you know, dating.
Right. Well, I think because it's a new form of communication.
Yeah.
I think because of the stigma, it's hidden. So you don't allow yourself the opportunity to like converse about it publicly or even talk about like the wins and losses of what you felt, the ebbs and flows of it all. So you keep it in the shadow. And you do the thing that you do always in the shadow is like something that you know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, this is devious, whatever.
I don't know.
And that's sadly part of American identity is sexuality is not something looked proudly.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weirdly
puritanical.
Right? Puritanical.
So I feel like it's all parcel to that shit where it's, yeah, the sex education was something scary.
Yeah,
it wasn't something about like, hey, let's understand your ovulation cycle, et cetera, like that, or like even like what STDs are really.
Yeah,
how to be like safe and what this means, all this shit.
Were you? Did you ever do any dating apps?
I did, yeah,
a little bit. Horrible. Oh, I kind of remember that.
I had my girlfriend's like set it up for me. I was like, this looks insane.
Man, Your female friend set it up for you.
Yeah. A woman I was dating, I was like, I want out.
And she's like, no, you're not going to like her. Nah.
And just because I wasn't good at it.
Well, it's weird because I feel like I would expect you to be good at that.
No.
So we both think that the other one would be good at it, but know that we ourselves would not be good at it.
Well, I at least have the experience to know I wasn't.
I
can tell you I wasn't, and I appreciate you thinking I would be good at it.
I think I would be good at communicating, like I think I could be really funny and communicative.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's almost like I would never want to like actually meet and hang out and like it just sounds so intense to me.
This is what I would do about dating apps.
Yeah.
And it's going to go into something I love so much, which is FaceTime. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So every time you log into the app, your camera automatically turns on.
Yeah.
It's you're in a video call already. You're swiping anyone else who's actively online right now, and like you don't know who is going to like swipe back to you. So you can randomly and immediately be like paired with a FaceTime.
It's
somebody.
Like there are those things, right? Isn't there a chat roulette? I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, but that's more of just like a video chat.
Yeah, totally.
This is specifically for like a dating or for hookup, whatever. But it's under that umbrella of like, this is for relationships, right?
Yeah.
And so like, maybe it's a thing where it's like you had to verify your age. So you're really like, I'm looking for people who are, you know, 29 to 40, whatever, like that, right?
Sure.
Great, you're in that bracket, dope. And then now as you're swiping, it's not something you can do in like the corner of a hotel bar.
Yeah, it's got to be total engagement.
Yes, because if you're going to be there, and let's say you are, and you're like face down, just like looking at your phone while that's going on. Do you really want to date that person?
Uh-huh.
Or would you like to date the person who's got the setup going on? Maybe it's too professional looking, right? Or were you looking for someone who's got the phone up while they're cooking? And it's like, hey, I'm just here at home, wanted to talk to somebody. Maybe we get whatever. Blah, blah,
that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it changes the environment, the engagement so much. I find like communication at large, like talking, is getting different.
Sure. Right? Like what we, sure. It just, well said.
Right. It's just different.
Yeah.
And texting and even I just saw there's a Zoom commercial where they will use their AI to modify your message.
Love
to
it.
Like, you know, what are you looking for? Something more serious and more direct to that. And like it just ChatGPTs it. So I'm like, we're losing the ability to be autonomous in our communication.
Yeah.
We're losing the ability to say what we want to say, how we want to say it.
Oh, we're already way past that though. Actually, I feel like the way that online language has, like people are like everyone is worse at communicating. But I'm like, you just person to person. So many people.
Oh my God, dude.
Everyone just, a lot of platitude talk.
Oh dude, totally.
And it's, you know, people are, it's bad. We're already past.
Like even just being direct and something like, can you send that over? It's like, what'd you mean by that?
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? Just send the fucking over.
Yeah. Although I will say I'm really guilty of in real life word choice over analysis where I'll go like, well, I don't like that you phrase it like that. And I will get, you know, sometimes I feel like I like consider words in like a totally disembodied sort of way where I go like, yeah, but if I was reading this, that would mean this. I don't know. It's not
sounds
a good
like
way
a
to
lot of you.
Live my
sounds
life.
Sounds like a lot of you.
What I would do with the dating
I'm not
apps,
done yet. You cut me off.
How are you not done?
Because I talked about ChatGPT that you put
you've been in it for so long.
And buddy, I'm not done. You know the only way to get through something? One step at a time.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know about that.
When you're on the phone, face to face with someone talking.
But you're just further explaining the idea. Because I would say that you are done. You actually are done. We've all we have the full idea. We understand. It's like chat roulette, only it's not.
I know. At all like chat roulette.
But if we're getting investors, we're saying it is.
Chat roulette is random.
Right, right, right. This is
more like it's not at all like that. Stop saying it's like that.
But it is like that because the video just cuts to random different people, right? That fit your same parameter of taste.
No, that agreed to video call
right,
you.
Right, yeah. So it's chat roulette, but it's dating.
No, chat roulette does not, you randomly.
Right, right, right. But the main idea is that it's going to cut to a live feed of a person. So yours is the same, only yours has to do with dating.
It's yours is a random screen that gets in the roulette of the name.
Yeah.
Mine's not roulette. You are physically choosing who you want to say yes to.
Yes.
You don't know if they're agreeing to see you.
Right. Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
not chat roulette.
But it is. It is.
No, it's not chat roulette. I'm never get to know who you're going to see.
No, exactly. So that's the one difference. That's the only difference.
That's a huge difference.
Right, right.
That's a huge difference.
But if you look at your, I mean, I would say, and write into the pod at youknowpod@gmail.com if you agree. You're so clearly incorrect in what you're saying. It's the exact same thing, only that it's following a different algorithm because it'll feel random to you. But you go, we have similar things in common because we've all filled out.
It's not random.
I agree, it's not random because you filled out a pre-existing thing about what you're looking for in a person that you're trying to date.
It's the same thing as the Bumble app, except you are just clicking on the face.
And that the whole thing cuts to a live feed
of that person.
Exactly. Right. Exactly like chat roulette. No, but it's removing the random factor, but it's still cutting to a live feed.
So it's a different thing.
But it's still cutting to a live feed. The ideas are so similar.
They're not.
You're just taking a position.
They're not. Yeah, I am.
I feel empathy right now
for your
fiance.
I'm proud of myself, and I'm proud of everyone else who takes positions and stands tall in them. Because you're going to have bullies like this to tell you that your position is wrong. Well, let me tell you this. They're wrong.
It's not.
They're wrong.
I'm saying to you that it's very, very similar in terms of just imagining the two things. You're removing one element of randomness for another element of similar. It's kind of random
it's
because dating
random.
Is random.
No, it's.
Because it's a random person who falls into a similar parameter.
It's an individual you don't know.
You have to be interested in chess. Now, only people are interested in that. It's still random because it's still people that are interested in that thing.
Direct of a bubble, Mike.
Right.
You don't know the apps. I'm giving
an abstract example.
Yeah, and they're wrong.
Here's what I would do
about comps are wrong.
Here's what I would do about dating apps is I would make it so that
I've been on one.
I am the center filter for all of it, and I get to be a matchmaker for everybody.
We'd live in hell.
I would. I think I could really nail it.
No one would find love.
I think I could really, really nail it. Moving right along. Now, I feel like you need to take a breather.
No, I don't.
I really do.
I'm breathing every second, dude, unconsciously. Yeah.
I just feel like you're coming in with this... Because I've had this happen with you before where you're definitely wrong about something, and your inability to acknowledge being wrong about it will basically cloud the next 12 to 18 hours of our friendship.
Okay.
Where, like, if we're back in the situation of living together, I would go... I'm going to have to give him about 12 to 18 hours before we can interact.
And I'm going into your bedroom.
And then the next day I'm going to interact with you and you're going to go like, I do see what you mean. I do see what you mean about how it's whatever the thing
so
is.
So I came to it then. So I understood.
Yes, but you need the 12 to 18 hours
and
to
I
really.
And I don't need that now.
But now, because you still have a really antagonistic nature toward me.
Because right now you're feeling weak.
No. I'm feeling the sort of lonely pride you feel when you know you're right about something where you're like,
cool.
I'm kind of picturing myself like Einstein.
So you want to get me pissed off.
I'm like walking on the beach with like my arm down my back and I'm like staring out.
What's the topic?
This one is, it's apt because we're about to be talking right past each other. This is talking to yourself.
Do it all the time. I do it in accents.
Yes.
Come up with scenes with myself all the time.
Yes.
I like to sing.
Yes.
I like to jump
in. Yeah, you actually talk to yourself in a more aggressive way than most people I've ever met. Like, because I talk to myself a lot as well.
Uh-huh.
And a lot or a lot of the time I'll sort of like wake up from being zoned out by saying something I no longer understand where I'll just go like, that is true. And then I'll go like, what was I thinking about? I have no recollection of what I was thinking about that was apparently true.
That's sick.
But I also do, as you're doing, you know, chatting with myself, characters, all that sort of stuff all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like, it's interesting because, you know, it's such a fine line of, you know, if someone needs like, you know, psychiatric help or if it's, what is the other thing then? Like, is it, so what is the limit that you pass where it, is it that you are aware that you are talking, that it's you
Everyone
talking?
Everyone talks to themselves to a certain degree.
But it's like, if you get to a degree where you believe that you talking is coming from someone else.
Yeah. I think it's it's important to know that this is just a thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just like you're, this is an idea that came into your head. I don't know if everyone has the same thing. I don't, obviously they don't, but I'm hearing my voice talk. I'm hearing myself talk to myself.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then I'm then can imagine that scenario, like, you know, just like randomly just being, hey, Mike, what are you throwing over here? Right.
And
I'm like,
yeah,
what do you
yeah.
mean? I just yeah. show you. Like, that's how this yeah, happens. Yeah, 'cause yeah. this is happening in my head all the time. Just saying yeah. it out loud.
But I wonder too, if it's, I'm sure there are psych studies on this because like, I find it's, I mean, ours is a niche example of like people who do live comedy sort of thing.
We get it out.
But like, yeah, I almost feel like it's almost a coping mechanism for me. I'll start to have some existential dread about something. And then like, I think we both lean British for the voice that enters.
So
you know?
Funny.
I often will have a sort of like a, it's almost like a Alfred style butler who go, moving right along, sir.
Oh yeah. yeah.
You know, and then I'll just say something like that out loud. And then it's almost like then a scene plays out and then I'm no longer thinking about whatever existentialist yeah, sort of yeah, thing yeah. was crushing me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel whenever to your point before of thinking that it's God talking to you or thinking
yeah.
that it's like something else. And I'm not dismissing anyone's struggles with that. Like, I'm just saying like that is the line where this is now an issue where these thoughts are invasive in a way where you don't think you're in control of them.
Yeah.
You think that there's some other, being.
Yeah. Some exterior thing. Yeah, well, the idea of that sounds nice to me. Like that sounds like a great experience. If you're really like religious people, the God told me to do this thing. I'm like, God, wow, legit. That must feel awesome
to have any direction in this world.
Yeah. And you're like, and you really are, you're, I mean, you're having a psych, like just total psychological break, I'm saying that experience in terms of a, whatever you'd call it, like comparative neurological experience, like that has to feel really good. Like, like you're like, I have to kill the president. And it's like this, but you're like, I'm really believing it. The experience of like real belief, I imagine experience has got to feel great.
It's freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also, there is a higher
certainty,
power.
Yeah.
There is like all this, like, yeah, that's why they'll like, I'll light myself on fire. There's something else.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
like, all right.
Do you think that there's a setting where you most often talk to yourself?
Probably in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Like when you're looking at yourself in the mirror? Or
no, it's just like because it's
when your knees are way above your head and you're on the squatty potty.
Because I don't use a squatty potty. I just lift my legs up myself. We already talked about
that. Yeah, Joey made that claim in my house earlier.
I find like it's because it's a reserved space just for you.
Uh-huh.
No one else can be in there. Any noise you make in there is like everyone kind of like just like dismisses. So you can kind of just like,
yeah, so they'll hear a whole long angry conversation in there and they know you're in there alone, but you're thinking they're all going, yeah, he's just in the bathroom.
Well, it's just like a private space. Like you get, I have this X amount of time to myself. Like no one else can come in there. If they do, they're at fault.
Yeah.
Like it's great. It's like a protective, you know.
Yeah, I guess I do that in my car. I talk to myself in the car quite a bit.
Well, I mean, anywhere I'll do it, but like specific, I recall that the most.
Uh-huh.
You know, just because like it's private. It's the only space I know where I am going to be alone here.
Is most of the self-talking, is it like character-y sort of playful or like is there like, What are like the different modes of self talk that you have?
So much of it's playful. So much of it is just like this. Like I'll just randomly be shot into a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now I am. It's crazy to say out loud because like, well, this is a disease.
Yeah.
Where like now I am like a chef somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm like barking.
It's like quantum leap, but it's all in the same body.
Yeah, and I feel like so much of it is this. It's always been this way. Like, it's just fun to play in that way.
Yeah. Like, no, and it's like an improv trained muscle too.
Yeah. And I do feel like I'm just putting myself in situations like, okay, what can I do here? But what I'm ironically doing, instead of it making something where I'm preparing for these situations or like, oh, if we were writing like this or like if that came up, what would you do here? I'm actually curating my presentation comedy to be solo performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I am taking control over every kind of contingency.
Yeah,
every
yeah.
audible is
yeah,
like
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
is
yeah. It's like you're creating it, and then now it's like a sense memory.
And
or
I
something.
Do feel like that's actually caused problems sometimes personally for me when I'm performing because like I want to like be 30 characters right now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm like I see this thing because you said that like that,
yeah.
And then I'm not allowing things to slowly build.
I mean, I've performed with you. I understand.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. You get it. Right? It's you know how fun it is.
Yeah.
But when I go I've realized when I'm performing with friends that I've known for years, I kind of allow that to poke through.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Gotta curb that, unless it's like with us, we're like it's that's more of we're asking for that here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? We do need to like populate this a little more.
Yeah, that's true.
But if there's like five of us, whatever, I don't need to do that.
Oh, and I can't do big group improv. I just go like I'm too cracked out to do it.
Yeah, there's I don't talk to myself when I'm at work. I don't.
Saying like, do you do like I've noticed that my wife Lauren will like problem solve out loud a little bit.
Yep.
Like she, if she's like doing something on her computer, like she'll kind of go like, but then I'll be at
sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
I kind of do that, but I almost feel like I get more distracted if I vocalize it. Like I feel like all vocalizing for me when it's like at myself, it's sort of like, it's like exhaust. It's like exhaust just right out of my pipe.
I do feel like when I do that, I can't speak for Lauren anywhere else. I'm asking for like I'm giving you an audio barrier to me. Like, don't come in here.
Yeah. Cause I'll often be like, what? And she's like, I'm trying to buy plane tickets. I'm like, oh, I don't,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Like,
sorry.
I have to talk to this. Yeah. So that's everyone letting you know, like, don't talk.
Yeah. But I've still not learned that. I still would be like, huh?
Cause you don't know. Cause you're like, what did you said something to me. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I think that is. It's like a protective measure.
Yeah. But so, do you feel like you have a lot of negative self-talk? Like, do you? Yeah, I think I've gotten actually pretty good, probably from playing chess, at like not doing that. Where like I think it's almost like because I could say so often I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I've kind of like stopped saying it.
It's important.
And now
to
I
not.
Just go like, it's fine, dude. You're fine. It doesn't.
It's important to be really soft to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going through, you know what you've done, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
No one else does. Some random person says that, like, yeah, it can hurt, but like you dismiss that immediately because who the fuck are they? I don't know what the fuck I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And you say it to yourself as if, like, come on, dude.
I can't remember who the people are in this story, and it's better for them to remain anonymous. But you have a funny story where, because this is actually a pet peeve of mine, where you said something like, oh, I'm an idiot, and the person too earnestly responded going like, you're not an idiot. You just made a bad decision about, I actually do remember the people, but I'm going to leave it anonymous.
Yeah.
But like that sort of thing, you know, like, cause I've actually had that with chess too, where I'll go like, oh, I'm such an idiot. And someone will be like, you're not an idiot. That was a whatever.
And it was kind a joke
like,
I was saying
I'm like,
too.
Oh, I don't care. No, I don't care. I don't think I'm an idiot.
I was saying that as like self-effacing to kind of make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm an idiot.
Yeah. But then for them to assure you that you're not, you're like, wait, do you think I am?
Well, that made me feel like sad about them. I was like, oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well now you've given me a leg up now. Like you've showed me a weakness. You don't realize you've showed me.
That's
amazing.
Here's what I would do about my self-talk is instead of like a broader prescriptive thing, I'm going to give a sort of one-time, almost like opening up a short story writing prompt. I'm going to say, everyone try to do this with your next time you're talking to yourself. I'm going to give you the setting and then I'm going to give you a sort of suggestion of the scene context and you just play this out by yourself. You're next time you're washing the dishes, I want you to picture that you are an old Southern man sitting by the fire and he's talking to people that he's camping with and he's just telling them a story. That's it. That's what I would do.
Okay, great. Well, what I would do about talking to yourself is I'd like more people to know what's going on. I think too often we all sit in silence. We all sit in the prison of our mind and not realize that it's actually a paradise.
Yeah.
And we got to let more people in to help garden that paradise.
Sure.
And so what I would do is I would hook up different kind of electricity and different kind of tubes and wires to the front of your head and have a screen mounted.
Yeah.
Right above you.
Of your every thought.
Physical thing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe there has to be some kind of rod or something that goes to the top of your head down to your feet.
Not a pipe.
Just to a rod because it's got to keep the screen stable. Mm-hmm. And there, which is then projected, is yourself talking out loud. And where are the speakers? In your ears.
Yeah.
Jam speakers in your ears shooting out. Bose. Uh-huh. Surround sound, baby.
Yeah.
Surround sound.
So you're hearing your voice extra loud.
No, you don't hear it. Everyone else hears it. They see you doing it.
I do think that if you went back and listened to what you said, it was a little confusing. But so you're saying that it gets projected outward, your every thought. But you have headphones on, so you're not
hearing
it.
No, the speakers are pointing
in your ears.
They're jammed in your ears. Speakers are going out.
And they're pumped out so that it's your, okay. But they could be technically anywhere since it's you're following the neurological impulses, right? So it doesn't have to have a physical thing like that. It could just be from the nodes.
If you put this,
there's a guy at MIT doing this right now, actually, who just he managed to connect his brain to the internet and then research stuff while being interviewed. It's pretty
cool.
Crazy. That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
But you're saying you want to go for, once again, a more steampunk sort of technology with it where you kind of add a messy element that doesn't have to be there by shoving something into the ears and that's where the speakers come out of. Even though there's already a screen mounted up there and it's got a rod coming in, And so you could just have the speakers be up there.
Why?
For just ease. For just
that's
the ease.
So top heavy, Mike. So
you can still use your, you can do tiny. They've made speakers so small they can make them tiny.
How the hell are we going to hear them? If they're tiny
speakers. They can be really, really tiny and still be really loud.
Okay.
Tiny things can, or mighty things can come in tiny packages. I'm sure one of these places is saying that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what you do. Okay, great.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You're in line at McDonald's, drive-thru, but you don't have a car. The car behind you and in front of you keep giving you weird looks, but you're seated in a small bike. Not on top, in.
In the
like,
bike.
It's like a little bed, right? Whenever you want to move, you just think about it. The bike moves forward, right?
Bicycle.
It's a bike.
It's on two wheels.
Yeah, like a little bicycle.
Okay.
So you get up there, you're able to make your order, mm-hmm. which is?
I'll have the fries, I guess. Can I get anything at McDonald's?
Yeah, well, that's cooked in pork fat.
Oh, then I guess just like I'll do a McFlurry.
Dairy you can have?
I mean, like, I don't want anything from here. I don't. My bike brought me here.
I just
want to
make sure dietarily you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I would just have a McFlurry.
Let's get a Whopper and fries.
That's Burger King. But I think I would. Yeah, I would just get whatever
Let's get a Whopper and fries.
But probably not anything that would be
Whopper
cooked.
Whopper and curly fries. So you get that and go to the front.
Sure.
You pay. The cashier who's seen you is a little unnerved. Okay, whatever. You're not in a car. They're not supposed to serve people.
They've seen everything.
But not like this.
Okay.
Not a little bike that you're in.
I'm laying in a little saddle bed.
You hand them your credit card.
Yeah.
Gets declined.
Okay.
You hand them your debit card. Gets declined. You hand them cash. It's not enough. You really want that Whopper curly fries. What do you pay them with?
It's so crazy because so few of the details in the story are in the conditional matter. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm on the bike. It doesn't matter that I'm laying down. It doesn't matter that my thoughts move it. None of it matters. It doesn't matter that McDonald's has a Whopper and curly fries. Like, not one detail matters. And then it's a question that just by nature of the entire conditional, none of it can matter. So my answer, there's nothing interesting for me to add to it because none of the details go together in a meaningful way.
There's nothing
interesting. So I guess I would say, actually, I'm vegetarian. I'm not going to get any of this stuff. And then I think about it and then it drives me home.
You wouldn't give them the bike as payment.
Why would I give them the bike? For a short-term gain of a burger I can't eat and curly fries.
You're hungry, Mike.
But you didn't even say that. You didn't even note that I'm particularly hungry. Like, if you said I'm starving and someone told me the only thing that will save me is this food.
Why would that be the
case?
But
I'm saying that you don't add any steaks to it. You can't eat steak. You're a vegetarian. Idiots. Okay. Pixar is decidedly turning over a new leaf. They don't want to be a kid's thing anymore. They want to appeal to
after
adults. Well,
their head guy, too. You know?
Yeah, John Lasseter. But so you decide that, you win this competition just off a pitch in the room because you kill in the room.
It's like a Wonka scenario.
And I haven't seen it. And you are basically saying that, you know, you're going to help them get into the more grown-up market by... The one thing you're going to do, you're like, I don't even need to change any of the content of anything. We're just got to make that lamp sexy. The little lamp that jumps out onto the eye. Yeah. How are you going to make that lamp sexy? And in a way that will appeal to adults, but still, kids have to be interested. But Pixar no longer wants to focus just on the kid market.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care about the kids.
Yeah.
Never
have. And I think that totally, right when you walk into the room, you say that, and all the execs are like, he doesn't even care about the kids.
I couldn't give a shit.
And one guy's going, I told you.
Yeah, right. And I don't know that guy. I don't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing right now is I tell them right now, no Pixar movies are ever going to be able to be seen by kids. And they're going to be like, how are you going to do that? We can't like stop them from seeing them. Like, no, yes, we can. We're going to use proprietary technology in the way we film, in the same way that IMAX uses a certain kind of film style to project on their screens. We're going to have a certain kind of film style that only works for people over the age of 18.
Right, right. You know, it's like those high-pitched noises that younger kids can hear at the frequency.
Exactly. Yeah. And what we're going to have, you know who's going to be the what's it called, the lamp?
I don't know.
I am, bud. We're trying to sexy it up.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do that. And they go, okay, well, you got 8 months to figure it out. And I do.
Yeah.
And I go into an underground science center, and I body modify myself to be exactly a one-for-one of the lamp.
Yeah.
Using all my bits and pieces, all my bones and skin to make myself that lamp.
Even though it's metallic. Like, it appears to be metallic. It's like
Spray me with something.
Yeah.
Spray me with something.
Yeah. But there's body modification going on.
Yeah, I'm like by 8 months time.
Yeah,
where they I get all the guys to go to my you know science center and
yeah, because you can no longer travel. You if you're gonna travel, you have to be put in a wooden box that looks like it's out of Area 51 and shipped to the location.
Right. Yeah. I can only use American highways. Yeah, that's the only way I can.
And you can't be on an airplane. You can't be out in public, basically.
I can't be out in public, but also I that kind of pressure is going to kill me.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah, I don't know about the tech.
I'm telling you what it is. It's not tech, buddy. Okay, it's just
Be technology. Yeah, yeah.
Pressure's not technology.
Well, I mean, technology basically pressure has an effect on technology.
Pressure has an effect on everything.
If you're getting
pressure has an effect on everything. But imagine if you're getting
body
test.
Modified, if you're getting body modified to become a human lamp that has some sort of metallic elements, like if you're a passable lamp, if they've done a good job,
no,
you are technology.
They haven't. But by the time the execs get there and the fucking screens unveil, they see me and I'm throwing up from that hood that is the fucking like you know like lamp hood whatever yeah. And that's the entire gape of my mouth and I was constantly vomiting out stuff. That's what they see.
Yeah,
no, my contract does not get renewed. Okay.
Yeah, that's you pass shortly after.
No, I don't.
Yeah, dude.
I live for 1,000 years.
Okay, great.
Great and all. So you're in line for Starbucks. Okay, now there's a guy in front of you who sees you, and there's a guy behind you. Now you're over there. You know how you do those, like, people have that, like, coin they do between their knuckles?
I love that,
so,
yes.
So you're doing that, okay?
Yeah.
Except it's not a coin. Mm. What it is one of those M&Ms, but they're alive. And they're going, so they're screaming the entire time and doing it. It's J.K. Simmons as the peanut one, right? And he just goes, right? And you got that going through your knuckles. Guy behind is like, what the hell? Guy in front of you is like, what the hell? You finally get up to the counter, right? The clerk who's there attending you, looking at that, going like, oh, like that, can see that you're like eyeing it like you're about to eat it, making them really nervous. You order a?
I get a grande mocha frappuccino.
Grande mocha frappuccino. No almond milk or whatever. No dairy.
In this scenario, because I would literally never step foot into a Starbucks unless I'm under a court order or something, I would order the most opulent thing. I think it has more calories than like a 2 Big Macs.
Yeah, dude, I would drink those every day. No, I got hefty on those.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, no, I had that when I was in high school once, and I thought it was the most delicious thing I'd ever had. And then I heard about the caloric
extra caramel.
Yeah, I was like, you can't. This is gonna in this 30 years from now, I'm gonna still be
coffee.
Gaining weight from this.
This isn't coffee, dude. Yeah, this isn't coffee. So you go and you pay with a credit card, declined. You go and pay with a debit card, declined. You go to pay with cash, it's too much. What do you do? How do you pay?
Okay, by the reasoning of the last conditional that makes no sense, for some reason you want me to say I'm going to give the M&M as payment or like not eat it or something because it's the only detail that I could take anything out of. I have a sentient M&M that I'm rolling up and down my fingers,
voiced
right?
Voiced by J.K. Simmons.
And it's voiced by the actor J.K. Simmons.
Oscar winner?
Yeah, from, I assume, Whiplash. And in order to get this beverage that I don't want in an establishment I would never go to, how would I pay when all my stuff is declined? I just wouldn't do it. I would just say, oh, never mind. I don't need the grande frap.
Listen back, but I said your money, you had too much. You could have paid with cash.
I could have paid with cash? Then I would have paid cash.
No, too late. You didn't listen, bud.
Okay, so it's like, it's that kind of scenario for you. Right? Where there's like, it's like a quiz and there's like a hidden answer.
No hidden
and if
answer.
I don't get the hidden answer.
Just listen.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Yeah.
The answer's right in front of you.
But my point is that you try to set them up to have a right answer. And if I don't have it, then you are disappointed
there's
in
no
me.
Right answer.
But you kind of just said that if I was listening, I would have gotten the right answer. A little bit, you implied that there's a right answer. You have that memory eraser thing from Men in Black. You
from
got
the movie.
It. Yeah, you got it. And it flips up and it's cool and it's
from
exactly
the movies.
Exactly. And it's, which we can talk about because strike is long over now.
Over.
I believe, although I've not heard of anyone making any money yet.
I don't know.
But so you have that thing and you're busting it out, you know, right? No. Actually, you're not busting out. You go, I should use this really strategically. How will you use the memory eraser? Whose memories are you erasing to give yourself higher status in the world?
Well, obviously, I guess.
Oh, because you can set time on it, too. Remember, you can go like, you erase a year, erase 10 years, erase, you know. So, just a little.
So, I wanted to test it out because you, just like Jack Reacher said, you never use a gun unless you fired it yourself. Okay. I don't know how it works until I try it on myself.
Yeah.
So, I stand in front of the mirror,
yes.
Pop that bad boy. Forgot exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I guess what? When I come to, you know what I see? I see a little thing down there. What is that? Is that a little like tube that pops up that I can press a button? Do it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to be in a loop of this now. You're gone.
Yeah. But the only thing I remember is I I gotta press that button.
Press that button. Wow, that is basically the way to, that's the Tales of the Crypt, but it's not that scary.
So you're at a soup cantina.
Okay.
Okay, you're wearing high-waisted denim. You got a beautiful suede jacket. Nice, white, crisp Oxford button-down tucked in. Beautifully cut, okay, form-fitting. Mm-hmm. You got rolled-up cuffed pants, right? And you're wearing beautiful brown loafers.
Okay.
I'm talking like Gucci style, right?
I mean, sure.
It's great.
Sure.
No socks.
Mm-hmm. Do I get a little penny in there? Put a little penny in the loafer?
You're holding an attaché.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman in front of you looks behind you. The gentleman behind you looks in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You look at both of them. You know that what you're holding are government secrets.
Okay.
You're a secret agent.
Oh.
You've been hired not only by MI6, but MI5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, all of the Tom Cruise movies.
Okay.
You've been hired by them. You've also been hired by the U.S. government, CIA, CIB, and CIC.
Mm.
Each of these departments has a specific goal that they need you to accomplish. Most importantly, all of them competing against each other. You're looking out for yourself, numero uno. As the line shuffles, you're up at the front. You're able to order what you want at the soup cantina.
Just a vegetarian minestrone soup.
They're out.
I'll do a cream of potato soup.
They're out.
I'll do a cheddar broccoli with a bread bowl.
They're out. That piqued your interest. How can the soup cantina be out of all these soups? You settle for a thimble of onions. You go to pay.
So, pureed? No, it's just a one clipped onion in a thimble?
Your credit card's declined.
Yes.
Your debit card's declined.
Yes.
You don't have any cash.
Yeah.
How do you pay?
I can I ask one follow-up question? How much does it cost to get a thimble of a chopped onion?
$1 if...
I say, can I O-ski? And then I guess what I'd do, I would do the Axel Foley route and I would say, I'm with these guys, and I'd point to the two guys and then I would have them pay. See if
you still
got to
wait and they heard you say that.
Well, look, if they're tailing me, like, how are they going to stop me? You know, what are they going to do? They're going to cause attention and all this sort of stuff. No, they're going to pay. You have a job interview and you're very excited about it. And
You
set like to be a commercial airline pilot like you've always wanted. And you're like all excited. You're going to get to the, you know, you're. But the weird thing is that your interview is at 5 a.m.
And so in the morning.
Yeah. At like a jetliner or whatever sort of thing. You set a super early alarm. You wake up. You don't see anyone. It's kind of a ghost town as you're getting ready to go. You know, because it's so early. It's that time.
5 a.m. I got up.
But you do feel this weird funkiness in your body. But you're kind of like, I'm just nervous about it. It's probably just gas, is what you're saying to yourself. And so you're letting them rip, and you're like, it's, you know, it's just what it is, and it's all good. You get to the airfield in the morning where you're gonna have this interview.
Sir, yes, sir.
And you haven't looked at yourself once yet. But when you get to the gate, whatever, the guy asks for your ID, name, all this sort of stuff, you give him your ID, and this is the moment. This is this critical moment where you know something is weird, because he goes, and he's looking at you, he's looking at the ID, and he's like, And then he goes, that's not what you look like. And he hands it to you. You go, of course that's what I look like. You adjust your rearview mirror, you look at yourself, you're Jabba the Hutt. Now, so it's total shell shock. You were not expecting a body change here, right? But you're like, I need this job. I want to be a commercial airline pilot, right? I have my interview. I got up. I'm here for it. It just so happens I look exactly like Jabba the Hutt. But you still fit in your car. So you know that your body is, you know, it can be crumpled up into this space, right? So you go, yeah, I had whatever sort of a reaction to some shellfish. Gas. Yeah, I had some bad gas. You go into the job interview. Everyone else in there looks normal. No one looks like Jabba the Hutt. Like, you're going, okay, maybe I thought it was going to be all of us look crazy, whatever. It's not like that. They're all looking at you. Like, everyone's trying to be polite, but they can't help but notice that you're a big shit-colored blob, you know? And so it's finally your turn to go in for the interview. How are you going to nail this thing as a suddenly Jabba the Hutt?
You know, I lean into the character.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am. Everyone else does.
Because it's not that you look similar to Jabba. You are Jabba the Hutt.
Using the abilities that I have, I create a cartel.
Mm.
And I use this like HR meeting place as the headquarters for my new mafia.
Yeah.
And where I started.
So you just kind of take over because of your size. Like, they basically can't
stop
you.
I mean, like, you know, go into the minutiae of, like, how I do that. Like, that's on you. But yeah. I run a cartel there.
Yeah.
Eventually, a Luke Skywalker comes through. You know what I mean? Everything happens there.
Yeah.
It's like Planet of the Apes. People think it happened on Tatooine or a different
place.
It happened on Earth.
It's a requel.
It happened on Earth.
Yeah. That's really smart. And let me say, can I actually have one follow-up question?
You're creating all of this.
Yeah. So would you even attempt to speak the language that Jabba the Hutt speaks? Yeah. Like, would you try and kind of throw it in there? Because you're like, they don't speak it.
Yeah. I'm like, also, neither do I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he was talking about it, I don't know the fuck did he say that.
Yeah. That, because the subtitles could be a lie. It could be George Lucas just guessing.
Could not care.
Yeah.
Could not care. Yeah. We're on Earth, dude.
So you just make it a cartel and you just sort of play out the reality of Star Wars.
Yeah. And who's going to kill me?
Yeah. Nobody. Han Solo? No, Leia. Princess Leia. Yeah. That's right. Okay, great episode.